Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dad's gum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dad's gum, dad's gum. Government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Will you get dumb, get dumb, get dumb government?
Welcome to Handling the Truth. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here tonight with my co-host, the Rebel Madman himself, Mike Gaddy. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Terry. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing all right, in spite of the insane world we're living in. I guess I better start us out with a prayer tonight, especially if we're going to launch into some current events questions here at the beginning. Let's get things started right. Almighty Father, we look around us and see such evil, and we know that you've predicted it, you've prophesied it, you're right on the money, and at the same time, it's got to just be heart-wrenching for you to see all the people in the world believing all the lies that are being told. So, Father, we here at Handling the Truth pray for truth, pray that you would help us bring the truth forward and that you would help us to see the truth and understand it. And we know that that requires that we have forgiveness for ourselves and each and others in order to be able to see clearly around us. And it becomes very difficult, Father, when you see the evil that is going on in this world, to forgive those people. So we want to give that to you to handle for us, because sometimes we just can't handle it. Father, be with us tonight. Be with our listeners. Be with Mike. Be with our families. But just open our hearts and minds and take control here, because we want to be in your desire. Fill us with your spirit. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, Yahshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. Well, Mike, amen. Last week we were looking at what happened with the First Congress. What did they do? And, of course, that was a follow-up to the Federalist control that came out of that criminal conspiracy called the Constitutional Convention of Philadelphia in 1787. And I know that we want to kind of segue to kind of look at what was going on with Washington and what he was really thinking at the time. I know we got into some of the issues about the fact that that he really wasn't running the country as in his presidency, that it was really Hamilton, and how that applies today, and how that whole situation really sets a stage for where we are today, and that Lysander Spooner was absolutely correct, that the Constitution, whether it be one thing or another, is it either authorized what we've got or it was not able to prevent it. But so you had an interesting conversation. Now we'll get there in a little bit. But before we go there, let's talk about what's happening in the world today. You said you had an interesting conversation on another show.
I did, Terry, and it just created – I've had some questions in my mind for quite some time, and it takes – one of them takes me back to the show that you and I did with the attorney. I can't remember his name, who filed the lawsuit about natural –
Mario Apuzzo.
Mario. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. Part of that conversation stuck in my head, and I am prone, as you probably noticed last night, I am prone to be up at 3:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, reading and going through stuff. It's just, you know, it's been something that I've done probably for the past 20, 30 years. I think in my head and I have to go research, I have to go find it, I have to get answers. But I was thinking it brought about, and I was asked the question, and I've been asked the question on several different programs. How do we fix this? Is it fixable? And some of those things have gone through my mind, and that was what I kind of wanted to open up with tonight, and then we can get into our other subject. But remember our discussion about the fact that the Republicans blew their chance to challenge Kamala Harris as a natural-born citizen when they refused to address Ted Cruz and Mario Rubio in their own party?
Right, and Haley and the guy down in Louisiana.
Right, all four of them that they haven't addressed at all in there. And so here was the thing that really got into my mind, and that was we all remember, or at least some of us do, we remember that 2000 election, you know, a little over 20 years ago now. And we remember that that was a very hotly contested election. The courts became involved. It went to the Supreme Court, Bush v. Gore. And the Supreme Court issued a proclamation, and the Supreme Court of the United States overrode the Supreme Court of the state of Florida and ordered the people in Florida to stop counting votes. That was part of the Supreme Court edict, which then automatically declared George W. Bush the winner. And there is no provision whatsoever in our Constitution for the Supreme Court to tell any state to stop counting votes. Absolutely not. So the election of 2000 went to George W. Bush in an unconstitutional manner. Now, my question, and I asked this question earlier today on another program, was why didn't the Republicans protest the unconstitutionality of the outcome of the election in the year 2000? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I've learned that there's a strong minority, if not a majority, of the GOP that is much more concerned about winning than they are principle. And it's actually if you tell many of them that you are a constitutionalist, they do not look upon that as being particularly favorable. The establishment, which controls both parties, is only interested in how they can use the Constitution to their own benefit. And if it doesn't benefit them personally, they're not going to even act like it exists. I mean, they will ignore it. They don't care about the rule of law. They perceive themselves to be the law, and it's true on both sides of the aisle. So I wasn't surprised that they didn't contest it being constitutional. And frankly, if you look at Clint Curtis, who was one of the original software engineers that wrote the software to flip votes, he was actually hired in 2000. Coincidentally, happened to be the same year. And as I recall, Tom Feeney, who hired him to flip the votes or to write a program to flip the votes, was a Republican.
And that is correct, Terry. I remember there used to be a YouTube of him testifying before Congress, the guy who wrote the program.
In Florida, and it's still up. That YouTube
right.
is still there.
I have, Okay. Him being questioned by members of Congress, and if it's the same YouTube I remember, he was asked, well, have you ever implemented that program? And he said yes. And so has that program ever been used? And he said yes. Well, here is my point, is that thinking about that, then, of course, Terry, we can jump to the 2004 election with a huge brouhaha in Ohio this time about votes in Ohio. And there was talk of John Kerry actually protesting or maybe taking that case to court, and which it didn't develop. But there was a huge problem with whether the election of 2004 was in fact ethical. And so here is, considering that and considering the fact we know in 1960 that that election too was tampered with in Chicago by the Daley machine, and which put JFK into office as opposed to Richard Nixon. So we look at these, and here's my point, is that if the Republican establishment did not complain in 2000 when the Constitution was completely thrown under the bus, if they didn't complain about that, what right do they have to complain about the election in 2020?
I don't believe that somebody not exercising their right waives their right going forward. I don't know that. Is there an argument that it would be hypocritical? Well, yeah, but I think anybody has a right to raise whether or not things are being conducted in a constitutional manner, or at least in conformity with the rule of law. I think anybody, regardless, even a criminal, has a right to raise that issue.
Well, then the hypocrisy, then, let's talk about that. Then it's okay if my guy wins an election. It's okay if it's corrupt and crooked. It's only not okay when the other guy wins. Is that the essence of America?
It's not. That's the criminal nature and the corrupt nature of our federal government, and in most cases our state governments. That's the nature of the beast. I mean, we're dealing with a spiritual battle here. It's not a political battle or a financial battle or a military battle as much as it is a spiritual battle. And we you know, there's a very few people who are willing to really stand on a principle when they're standing alone. And the competitiveness of it, which is certainly corrupt, the competitiveness is between the corrupt factions. I mean, it's corrupt. That's all. I mean, there's no way to look around it. These people worship Lucifer that are funding most of this stuff and blackmailing people and bribing them, and it's rampant. I mean, we're getting exactly what these people deserve because we haven't stood up for the rule of law, including Yahweh's law.
Well, let's look, keeping it on the level of elections, is there any evidence anywhere that the 2008 election was not rigged?
Evidence that it was not rigged?
Right.
No, I think I'm fairly confident that we have not had in even in the state of Colorado, I'm convinced we haven't had a fair election since 2005. And I see no evidence. I'm not even sure how you'd prove that negative, but because that's a negative statement, in that you're asking for proof that it didn't happen. And that's a very challenging thing to do at any time. But I'm convinced that ever since the Democracy Alliance moved into into Colorado in 2005 that we've not had a fair election here. And I believe the corruption on the federal level goes back, you know, even further than you've mentioned. I don't think we really have a way to determine just how far back it goes.
Well, the thing we know in 2008, even if the vote was tallied properly, the man who was elected president was ineligible for that office.
No doubt about that.
Okay, so then 2012, we would have to say, again, the winner was ineligible for that office.
Well, and I believe it actually goes back to H.W. Bush. And, of course, we know it goes back to Charles Arthur, is that his name? We know that he was not eligible, but I personally have come to the opinion that H.W. Bush was not eligible. I don't believe he ever naturalized, and I don't believe his name was Bush.
Well, let's just staying on this parameter. Is there any evidence whatsoever that the 2016 election was not tampered with?
Well, I believe that they know that the 2016 was tampered with, and I don't believe for a second that Trump was as. You know, he didn't. I am convinced that he won the popular vote by at least a few million votes in 2016, and it was the algorithm that they were using, that Clinton was using, was insufficient, and that's why she was so shocked. That's why they all could come out with their predictions in the media and everywhere else. That she was going to win by so much because they knew they had to cheat in. And the algorithm that they used was insufficient, just like it was in 2020. They had to bring more fraudulent ballots to the table and bring them out of suitcases from under the table and put them through the machines after they had dismissed everybody multiple times in order to even pull it off in 2020. But the same thing went on in 2016, they just weren't as prepared to bring the extra ballots that they where they had a shortfall in their algorithm. I think there's all kinds of evidence. I don't think it's even a question that the 2016 election was rigged and the rigging failed.
Well, here's a question. I don't believe there's any doubt going back many years that no one has won a presidential election that wasn't sanctioned by the deep state. So are we going to say that the only person who won an election in the past 20-some years who wasn't sanctioned by the deep state was Donald Trump?
I believe that may be an accurate statement.
Well, what does the deep state do when someone gets into office and does not operate according to their wishes and their direction?
Well, we know that every president that's been assassinated or attempted to be assassinated, that those assassinations were prompted and contracted and planned by deep state characters. So they generally assassinate them, and that's no question. It's been claimed by a number of people that they attempted to take out Trump, but boy, I just don't know how he could. I don't really know for sure how he could even have his own security people, and it just seems impossible to stop if they really wanted to do it.
Well, John Kennedy said as much. John Kennedy said that assassination is impossible to stop as long as one person is willing to give up their life to take another. I think that's a pretty accurate statement. But I just, and I realize that we do not agree on this, Terry. but I find it absolutely incredulous to believe that the only person who was able to slip through the command of the deep state in the last 26, 30 years was Donald Trump.
Well, you may be right. When I made the statement a while ago, I said it might be true. I didn't say that I knew 100% that it was true. And
well, I do not. Oh, go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry.
No, I your point is valid. That's all. I mean, there's no way around it. Your point is valid.
Well, the other thing that stuck in my mind was, which I believe this impeachment process is a total farce, and it has been perpetrated on the American public to keep the people polarized in opinions. They need to keep the people and separated, hating each other. That is how government always accomplishes its goals, is to separate and divide the people. Because the people united would never put up with this government, but a people separated and polarized will always tolerate this kind of government action. History proves that over and over again. You keep the people polarized. And they're saying that this, I went back and did some reading about the Constitutional Convention and the discussion of impeachment. And I was particularly taken with a presentation by Luther Martin. And Luther Martin said the only purpose of impeachment is to remove someone from office who has violated their oath and have failed to accomplish. And that the impeachment was designed only to remove someone from office. And he very poignantly said, if that person is no longer holding office, any crimes they may have committed should be prosecuted either civilly or criminally. And they are no longer a member of government. And I,
well,
to
well,
me,
whether,
that is
whether,
totally accurate.
Whether your premise is that this impeachment is out of fear, believing that Trump is possibly still in office because of the fraudulent election that's been represented by so many, or whether or not your premise is that the farce is not just being done out of fear, but actually a plan to keep the left-right debate going and keep people taking sides and biased and believing that something is going on to control them. In either case, the impeachment trials are a farce. Doesn't matter what your opinion is of what their real motive is. The impeachment trials are a farce.
Well, the allegation that they are by so many people, and including the gentleman I was talking with yesterday, the allegation that the reason they're impeaching Trump is so he can't run again, in my mind, is totally crap, because they just perpetrated a huge fraud in an election. Having that kind of power, why would they worry about anybody running for office?
Well, like I said, it makes sense, because we've known, those of us that are awake have known for a long time, that the entire left-right debate is a smokescreen. It's basically a form of Hegelian dialectic. It is insane to think that if the establishment is behind both parties, which they are, that the left-right debate is anything other than control of the people.
Well, would you address this comment? If I make this statement, tell me what you think. I believe that the deep state controls both political parties.
I simply agree.
Okay, if the deep state controlled the Republican Party, why did they allow Donald Trump to run in 2016?
Well, the discussions on that are that they did not expect him to be able to pull off what he pulled off. Of course, that's how you paint the picture of him being the savior of the party or the anti-establishment game, if you will, to convince people that were not voting before that they would now come out and support this person who is supposedly not establishment.
So we are saying that the deep state controls both parties, but in 2016 they let Donald Trump slip through their fingers,
thinking that they wouldn't, that he couldn't pull off what he pulled off. That's the theory.
If the deep state was controlling the Republican Party in 2016, which I believe they were, but if we're going to go with that paradigm, they would have run Jeb Bush for president, not Donald Trump.
I don't know about that. I think there was enough pushback on the Bushes at that point that that might not have been the case.
So the deep state has controlled everything since, well, let's say since 1947. The deep state has basically controlled this country, but they just screwed up in 2016.
That's possible. I don't know that it's probable, but it's possible.
Well, I know one thing. I know the deep state cares not for American lives in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And I believe that the deep state took out John Kennedy. I believe the deep state took out Richard Nixon by impeachment. To say that those people, E. Howard Hunt and others, messed up in the Watergate complex and got caught by a rent-a-cop, as professional as they were, that is absolutely ludicrous to believe that. So I believe they got rid of Nixon in the way that they had wanted to do. I believe if they had wanted to get rid of Donald Trump and he had slipped by, he would have been impeached in his or resigned to keep from being impeached if he knew it was going to happen.
Well,
and
correct me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't the Watergate break-in that took Nixon down. It was the cover-up of it that took Nixon down.
But they had to be caught first, Terry. If they would have never been caught, no one would have known about it. Trying to cover up the break-in, yes, brought him down, but the break-in had to occur, and they had to be caught by a rent-a-cop. And you can't take five seasoned CIA operatives that were in the Watergate building and they forget and leave a door open for a rent-a-cop. Because if that rent-a-cop would have found something, they'd have put a bullet in his head. Covered that up. It was just absolutely astounding to believe that was not perpetrated by the deep state in the beginning. But they took out JFK, they took out RFK, they took out MLK, they took out George Wallace. If you get in the way of the deep state, you do not continue to hold office. You do not continue to breathe. What about Wellstone? Wellstone crossed them too. What happens? He has a plane crash. Imagine that. What was the guy's name in the Clinton administration? Ron, what was his name? He was about to spill the beans. Vince Foster was about to spill the beans on Waco.
And Wheeler was another one.
Right. And so as an intelligent person with a bit of logic, I cannot believe through any of this that all of this was wonderful, but Donald Trump slipped through unscathed. It's just beyond my ability. I could be wrong. I'll totally admit I could be wrong. But history does not prove that and will not prove that point. I just can't see it happening because the deep state, if they mess up, which I believe they messed up with Kennedy, I believe they absolutely thought Kennedy was going to toe the line. He came from a mafia family. His father made his millions in with organized crime. They felt like they had a control on Kennedy, and he just became a he made too many mistakes that they couldn't live with. So they
same
took
with
him
Lincoln.
Out. And Lincoln crossed the people too. They took him out. I just cannot believe, as I had this discussion yesterday, and this gentleman's a very intelligent guy, and he. When I told him, when he was saying, well, Trump this, Trump that, I said, look, if Trump was real, he was either an idiot or he was totally compromised. Because if you are trying to drain the swamp, you don't put the alligators in office. You don't put Bob Barr. You don't put John Bolton. You don't put Henry Kissinger. You don't put Madeleine Not-So-Bright. You don't put all of those people into positions of authority if you're trying to drain a swamp. The whole thing doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and it just troubles me that America is so emotionally invested. It's exactly what they did with Trump from day one. They went after him in the news media 24 hours a day. You could not turn on a program that somebody wasn't blasting Trump for a tweet, doing this, that, or the other. That is a massive psyop where you solidify people, you turn them into a cult figure by getting the people they hate to hate the guy that you love. That's a classic psyop. I mean, that's psyop 101. And they kept him up there because they needed somebody to be the bad guy, to do the polarization. Also, with this fantastic thought that at some point in time, the people who call themselves conservatives are not going to do anything. They're going to sit and wait because they have been told that just right over the horizon is salvation. Somebody's going to run in, and they're going to take all of these Democrats and put them all in prison or hang them or do something to them. I can find more truth in cartoons than I can find in that. I'm sorry. It's beyond my comprehension to understand how people can actually believe this, Terry.
Well, I'm being quiet now because we're in a public forum situation, and I don't want to say something that could create a problem.
Well, I understand, but it's just beyond my comprehension. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a dumbo. Maybe I'm not smart enough to see this. But it just nothing historically, and history is my basis. And history just tells me, having any knowledge of history tells me this is too preposterous to be true. But like I said, that's me. But
as every day goes by, your premise is. Becomes more solidified as being the probable. What's the term when you have to bring it down to you disqualify everything else, and the simplest thing is probably correct.
Occam razor.
Yeah. Thank you.
The simplest explanation is usually the correct explanation. But my point is what do they gain by doing this? And they gain exactly what is happening. That's why I look at the results and I say, okay, because now we have the conservative right in America in one or two categories. They are either waiting for the cavalry to come charging over the hill and kill all the Indians, or they are believing that just wait till the next election, when they have just had their noses rubbed in utter, I mean, it was obvious. It was obvious for a reason. They could have conducted this election and had been completely fraudulent in obtaining the results of this election without ever exposing it like they did. What they even Time magazine came out and said there was corruption in this election. They're now beginning to admit it.
They're not admitting it. They're normalizing it. They are admitting it, but it's beyond that. They're actually normalizing this corruption, so that people just accept that's the way it is.
What they are doing is they are rubbing the people's face in it, because that's what evil people do. It's not enough to steal what belongs to you, but to stand and rub it in your face and say, look, I did it, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. That is the evil of these people, and that is why they have accomplished, and that is why I believe that's what they set out to accomplish in the beginning. And unfortunately, in my lifetime, Terry, I have had the terrible luck of actually seeing some of these people in operation and seeing their mindset. The majority of the people who run this country are either psychopaths or sociopaths. And this is exactly what a sociopath would do. Think about the psychopath killers that we've had. Have you ever seen one that would do it, pushing it in the face of the police? Sending them letters, sending them clues, all of the stuff that they do. That is the very essence of a psychopath. That is why the psychopaths who have perpetrated this entire operation want the American people to know, look, we did it, so what? That is why I don't think there's any way possible to bring ourselves out of this thing, Terry. Because, number one,
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead and finish your thought, because where I'm about to take you is a completely different place.
Okay, well, I made this statement today, and I firmly believe this. All you could do was take the 2020 election and switch the names. If Trump would have won and it was proved that it was totally and completely fraudulent, millions of Republicans in this country wouldn't give a damn. The only thing they're mad about is their guy didn't win it. It's not the fact that it was corrupt. It was the fact that their guy didn't win the corrupt election. And for that point, I take us back to the year 2000. The Republicans didn't give a damn if the Constitution was violated.
Well, I don't think you can lump all Republicans into that. Is there a strong element of Republicans that probably what you're saying is correct? Yeah, but I don't believe that the majority at the grassroots level would accept a corrupt election regardless of how it turned out. The people that I know in the Republican Party at the grassroots, they may not do anything about it. The majority may not do anything about it. Even if they knew it was wrong, the majority may not do anything about it. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying that there is a strong contingent within the Republican Party that do care about the rule of law.
Well, I'm glad you've met some, because I never have. And I affiliated, my wife and I tried, because we had some people we thought were good people. We worked within the Republican Party in Colorado, and it was as corrupt as they come. They wouldn't have cared one way or the other, and they did it in a sheriff's election in 2014. And that was the Republican Party that did that. When in the world have you ever had, in an off-year election, have 4,000 more people vote in a county of 25,000 people? You have 4,000 more people voted in a a midterm election than voted in a presidential election. It's never happened in the history of this country. But it happened in Colorado in 2014, and the evidence was clear. Secretary of State wouldn't look at it. And the people in the Republican Party did not care because their guy won. That's what I'm trying to – my bottom line is the people of this country do not give a happy damn as long as their person wins. They have so polarized the American public into Democrats and Republicans, the old two-party paradigm, that the Republicans, if they thought they were getting over on the Democrats, they didn't care. They wouldn't care how corrupt the election had to be to do it, and the other side is the same way. That is what the polarization has accomplished in this country. And as you said, there may be a few people. You may know some. I would love to see that. But I went to the Republican National Convention in New Orleans in 1988, and I never saw so much corruption in my life. So I do not believe that a core of Republicans would really give a damn as long as they won the election.
If you'd have been involved when Mitt Romney was there, you would have seen more corruption than you saw in 88.
Well, that's my point, Terry, is the people, they have got the people so polarized. You have people who supported Trump. And the people who, with very good hearts, very good people who supported him, the way that you turn that respect or that into a cult is to keep the man under constant attack by the people you know that his supporters hate. You have Schumer, you have Nancy Pelosi, you have these people who any person that calls himself conservative hates those people. And to have those people attacking their hero, all you do is make the worship of that person stronger than it ever would have been in the beginning. There was a purpose for this. And unfortunately, again, from my position, having been involved in several psyops in my lifetime, I can tell you this is a perfect 101 example. Now, I wish I was Billy Bob Sixpack somewhere and could just sit and watch the news and make opinions without that. But I have a background that won't allow me to do that. So I'm cursed.
You ready for my question?
Yes, sir, please.
What's your take on why they have allowed the pedophilia and human trafficking to become so exposed and people being prosecuted for it?
Well, throughout history, Terry, again, leaning on history, throughout history, there has always been the sacrificial lambs. There's always going to be the sacrificial lambs. They have to throw some people out there some of the time. How do we know? Does anyone today know where Jeffrey Epstein is? If he's still alive, I believe he's still alive. Does anybody know where Harvey Weinstein is? Can anybody prove he's in prison anywhere?
I don't know.
And we remember the guy that went to, what was his name? He's obviously the father of Bill Clinton, of Hillary Clinton's daughter. What was his name? But anyway, he got convicted of corruption during the Clinton administration. He went to prison. He went to prison for a while. And while he was in prison, he was getting $200,000 a year as an advisor. They do not put these people. We have no way. Someone, Weinstein, walks out with all of his millions. He walks out of a courtroom, and, they're taking him to prison. How do the people in this country have any clue that he is in prison? Thank you, Jennifer. Webster Hubble was correct. Thank you.
Yeah.
You look at that. You know, Chelsea Clinton had an operation on her lip because she had the Webb Hubble lip, and they did an operation to change that. Does anybody think for a minute that, some of these people who have died, Vince Foster, did anybody go to jail for that? And then, ironically, the guy who covered it up for the government is appointed to the Supreme Court by Donald Trump.
Did you hear about Daniel Best?
No, tell me.
Best was the guy that Trump appointed to work on reducing the cost of drugs, particularly generic drugs, to pave a pathway to reduce the cost of those. And they found him dead, classified it a suicide, and the cause of death was multiple blunt force object strikes. Multiple, in other words, he beat himself to death.
Well, Vince Foster shot himself in the head with his right hand. He was left-handed, and the pistol was still in his right hand. It didn't fly out of his hand after he shot himself, and he was lying on an incline, and the blood ran up his body instead of down.
Well, and it obviously didn't happen where they found him.
Absolutely. There are so many of these things. But when someone actually, how do we know, again, like the people who go to prison, how do we know? How do we know that anything happens to them? Because we know that the whole government is so damn corrupt, you can't believe anything.
You remember Tim Turner?
Yes.
I was thoroughly convinced that him going to prison was an exit strategy.
Well, very possibly.
That's basically what you're saying. Prison
exactly.
Is just a way for them to disappear.
How do we know that Jeffrey Epstein's not on his island having a great time? How do we know Harvey Weinstein's not with him? Would you trust the person in the government who told you they weren't?
Absolutely not. At this point, Mike, we can't trust anything that comes out of government.
Well, I still believe, and I will stand by it until someone proves me wrong. And when someone proves me wrong, I'll be happy to admit it. But I believe that Donald Trump was put into place and was put there to polarize the people. And he was also put there to allow this COVID fiasco to come into full bore and to give it 10 months before an election or 8 months or 9 months before an election to give it time to implement everything they intended to implement, because I do not believe for one moment that this country would have accepted this COVID crap from Hillary Clinton. She could not have pulled it off.
Well, and without that being the case, they probably wouldn't have accepted the removal of the reserve requirement in banks.
Exactly.
And going from a fraction reserve to, you've heard me say this over and over ever since the end of March last year. I mean, it just, there's as many things pointing toward what your premise is. There's just as many things pointing toward that as there are not. And I mean, I can sit here and I could play devil's advocate and start talking about all the accomplishments that they built basically a legacy of Trump. But then, you're going to turn around and say, well, that was there so that the people would become a cult, if you will, and support the man, and people who hadn't voted would come out. And those are all valid points. I mean, it's all valid. Mike, I mean, I've not argued with the validity of your points.
It's extremely hard person who is involved in a PSYOP that they're in a PSYOP.
Well,
because
Mark Twain, I like Mark Twain's sayings, and one of his sayings was, "Is it's easier it's easier to fool somebody than it is to convince them they've been fooled.
Well, that is obvious. That is absolutely obvious. And Jennifer, thank you for this point too. Jennifer, you know, sent me a message and said that, you know, that the people didn't accept the H1N1. Remember that big thing under Obama?
Yeah.
The people didn't go batshit crazy. Pardon my French. They didn't go bat poop crazy for that. And I do.
Well, you know what the majority of the people, you know what the majority of people died from that died during that epidemic, right?
Vaccines.
No, they died with bacterial pneumonia from wearing masks.
Well, here was the thing I remember, Terry. Do you remember the outbreak? What flu was it? Swine flu in 1976? There was a flu outbreak in 1976. There was a name for it, bird flu, swine flu, something. Do you
it wasn't
remember
swine.
That?
Swine was later. That was a bird flu.
Okay. In 1976, they did a massive vaccination program in the United States military. And if you're in the military, you have no option. You're going to take the damn shot. In 1976, more military personnel died from the vaccination than died from the flu. And the Army covered that up. Well, the military
well, you know
itself,
what this,
the
you,
Defense
you know,
Department
you,
covered that up.
You're aware of the Gulf Syndrome, right?
Oh, yes. That is one of the largest frauds that's ever been perpetrated.
See, I've interviewed Garth Nicholson. And I could probably get him on if you want to bring him back on. But Garth's daughter was in the Gulf, and so she came back and she had these symptoms, and so he started looking into it, and they eventually got him fired from the research group hospital down in Houston that he was working at because he wouldn't stop digging into it, but. What he determined was that a lot of the soldiers that got the vaccine going before they went over there and never deployed, even though they never went over there, they got the vaccine and then did not deploy. They had the syndromes. And some of the soldiers that came back from over there, their children developed the syndromes. So he recognized that it was something biological and it had to be associated with the vaccines.
Well,
and it got him railroaded out of his work.
Well, that I know this guy, Terry, this crazy guy that goes by the name Rebel Madman, who wrote an article back about 16 years ago. Matter of fact, he wrote this article on February the 7th of 2005. And the article was called Questions for Those in Uniform. And that was one of the points. Well, let me just list through some of these points. The experiments that were carried on against military personnel. And I'm trying to go through the article to see it now.
While you're looking for it, they actually were doing tests on the vaccine down in Texas, and they actually had secret crematoriums, and they would give people who did not have family, they would use them to test these vaccines and stuff on, and when they died, they just cremated them secretly. And that was a part of what Nicholson brought out that got him really in hot water because he started reporting on some of the stuff that he was finding like that.
Well, Terry, 16 years ago, I listed a lot of things in this article, and would you believe that all of the links that were active in 2005 that pointed out these Secretary had carried and were available on the internet in 2005, would you believe they're all gone now?
Yeah.
My first point on this, I brought up some other stuff, but when it came to this one, I said that number six, I said, would a study of how the government has used military personnel and others as human guinea pigs reveal a total lack of respect by the state for its citizens and in particular its military personnel? And I had a link there to how the servicemen had been used as guinea pigs. That one was gone. It's totally gone. I just checked it. Number seven, what about our servicemen and their families who have been struck down with all of the maladies caused by Agent Orange in Vietnam? How many lies has the government told about the use of this chemical defoliant and the death and the suffering it has caused? And when the young men and women return from Vietnam complaining of illnesses, cancer, and birth defects in their children, our government refused to admit Agent Orange might be involved. One feels compelled to ask if dioxin is so terrible that entire sections of cities, Love Canal, Sebesio, Illinois, Times Beach, Missouri, Pensacola, Florida, and Midland, Michigan, have been evacuated. How can the government deny similar dangers to its veterans who were exposed to the same chemical in Agent Orange? And my question was, in the case of Agent Orange, did the government choose protecting and providing for its military personnel over themselves and their chemical companies, or was it just the opposite? And then number eight, I moved into this one. This one's gone too, Terry. What about our servicemen and women from Desert Storm? What is Gulf War Syndrome and why and what are its origins? Why did the Pentagon refuse to comply with Public Law 105-85 as it pertained to our own soldiers before their deployment to the present Iraqi theater? Did the Department of Defense, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Department of Veterans Affairs ever lie or otherwise participate in a total cover-up about the origins of Gulf War Syndrome? Could there be dangers associated with the syndrome that our soldiers now in Iraq are facing? And there are a lot of things, various diseases and what have you. And, Terry, I still believe this is related to the 22 veterans a day who take their own lives.
Well, what Nicholson determined was that that vaccine attacked the mitochondria, which produced different symptoms. I mean, the symptoms coming out of that were not all directly related type symptoms. In other words, they were varying symptoms. But what he came out of that whole thing with in an effort to try to help his daughter, cure his daughter, was that he determined ways of using lipids to restore the mitochondria.
Okay, there is a link to this, and it's called The Cover-Up of Gulf War Syndrome, A Question of National Integrity. We don't have any of that, but anyway. And this whole website is donated to Gulf War veterans and the victims of patriotism. Beautiful. Contents, primary sources, introduction, bottom line, conclusions, evidence. This guy who wrote it lists all of his credentials: Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army, Bachelor of Science from West Point, Master of Science in Systems Management, MPA from Harvard, PhD from the University of Wales in the UK, former Congressional Fellow, U.S. House of Representatives. He's got all of his primary sources listed here. Terry, we probably need to get this where the folks could look at it if they wanted to look at it, but here is, let me try to get to the conclude. Bottom line, the Department of Defense, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Department of Veterans Affairs have been lying to the U.S. Congress, Gulf War veterans, and the American people about coalition forces' exposure to chemical and biological agents during the war. The criminal, reprehensible, shameful, dishonorable, and egregious act on their part has caused incalculable pain and suffering, caused many who risked their lives for our flag to die, inflicted severe financial hardships, caused many veterans' children to be born deformed and disabled, caused many veterans' children to become diseased, destroyed marriages and families, and eroded the trust of the American people in the institutions they once served. Well, that's not true. People still trust them. Gulf War veterans are truly the victims of patriotism. What they have suffered is the great American tragedy. Those who have perpetrated and perpetuated this lie must be held fully accountable. Yeah, like that's going to happen. And it says, our afflicted veterans are sick and suffering, and many have died. Others are now destitute, having spent tens of thousands of dollars depleting their life savings in an unsuccessful search for an explanation for their ailments. The veterans of the Gulf War have asked us for nothing more than the assistance they earned. Our refusal to come to their immediate assistance can only lead others to question the integrity of the nation they serve. And then here, Pravda on the Potomac says, it is clear that the CIA, as well as the Defense Department, has been complicit in a stonewall, if not a cover-up. So here is the thing, Terry, that I will believe someone is a valid person who really represents the American people when they first get into office if they would expose all of this stuff. When someone who gets into office and says, okay, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. Next week, we're going to audit the Federal Reserve. We're going to audit the Defense Department. I'm ordering a massive audit of the name all of these branches in the government.
HUD. Defense, yes. And HUD. DARPA.
Okay, here was – when was the last time that the Defense Department was had an audit, Terry?
I'm not aware of one.
1957.
I was only 6 years old. So you were old enough to remember that, Mike.
You can keep that to yourself, please.
We're back now to Catherine Austin Fitz and Dr. Mark Skidmore.
Yeah,
and all the information that was available for anybody to see on the government websites have now been scrubbed, so that you can't identify how much money they have unaccounted for.
But no matter how much money they steal, Terry, no matter how much money they use to make each other wealthy beyond doubt, no matter how much of that they do, they still keep raising taxes. Why?
Control and dependency on the government. It's a dualocracy situation. They want to have the people continue to vote for those that are going to give them free stuff.
Well, I can't argue that point at all, but this thing is so totally corrupt. Why does anyone believe for a moment that they're going to fix it with a vote?
Well, we've done such a good job of that so far.
They just rubbed it in our face. They rubbed it in the entire voting public space, because they told, with this past election, the deep state told the Democrats, as well as they told the Republicans, we can make an election come out any way we want it to. They also told every member of Congress and everyone running for office the show. It was one of the greatest displays of absolute power over the people. Because when they said, okay, we did this, they said it to everyone. Now, the Democrats loved it because they got their Marxists that they wanted. And I think that they did this intentionally with Joe Biden, who can't put together a sentence, and did it with Kamala Harris just to emphasize the point, because she dropped out of the election. She was the first one to drop out of the election. She dropped out before Iowa. She was the weakest candidate they had. What greater insult to the American public can you say is, we're going to take a bumbling idiot who can't talk
and a woman with no support whatsoever, who slept her way to whatever power she has, then we're going to put them at the top of the heap. What better slap in the face to the absolute to the integrity of the entire country can you do with that? They just said, hey, we do whatever the hell we want to, and you can't do anything about it. And not only are we going to do it, but we're going to do it so corrupt that even Ray Charles could figure it out.
Have you seen the video of the mother talking about the cost of her son's insulin?
No, I haven't, Terry.
She is reporting the fact that his box of insulin, that takes a box a month to treat him for his diabetes, type 1 diabetes, and it was costing her $60 a month. And she went to the pharmacy to get this month's box, and the price was over $300, and the only reason it was that low was like $358 or something like that. And the only reason it was that low is because she had some kind of coupon. I don't know if it's from the insurance company or who it was from, but she had that coupon, and if without the coupon, it was going to be $500 for a single box of insulin. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because if you want to see the Declaration of Independence clause about throwing off a government be pushed by a people who are dead serious, I think they may have just woken a sleeping monster in all the mothers out there of diabetic kids.
Well, Terry, I respectfully disagree, because I understand their pain and their anger, but here's what they have accomplished. They have separated this country. They have polarized this country along religious lines, upon political lines, and upon racial lines. And a people divided will never turn on their government. They know this. Never in history have a divided people turned on their government.
So am I hearing you say that one of the ways we need to turn this thing around is by healing those divisions?
That's the only way, Terry, until we stand side by side with our fellow Americans, and everybody understands that our enemy is not the Confederacy, our enemy is not the Democratic Party, the enemy is not the Republican Party, the enemy is not Congress. Well, it is Congress in a way, but we are not each other's enemy. The enemy that is oppressing all of us is the government. It's government. This is the history of government. Governments have always done this throughout history. There has never been a government in recorded history that hasn't done exactly what this one is doing. It's the complete maturization of government. Government begins protecting one group of people from the other. And that is what the blacks today believe, that the government is the only thing that's standing between them and white supremacy. They truly believe that. A great majority of them believe it. You can see it on TV. You can see it in writings. You can see it on Facebook. They believe that without government, they would all be slaves again, just like they did in Reconstruction. It's the same thing. They convinced them that you either vote Republican or you'll go back to being slaves again. And we're right back to the same position. They've got them totally convinced of that, convinced that the Republicans are going to take all of your free stuff away from you. And nobody wants, no people will fight you over their free stuff. And the other thing is, now they've got all of the Republicans believing that, hey, the only thing standing between you and complete Marxism is the federal government. When the federal government is the one that's Marxist from top to bottom, but they have made factions out of the people. You know, we can go back to Federalist number 10, where the wonderful James Madison wrote about factions and how what factions would do to a country. And he was right on. He got that right. That they have created it, the perfect storm. Everybody hates everybody.
Are you looking at the clock?
No, sir, I'm not.
We got about 15 minutes.
I usually leave that up to you, sir.
Well, I kind of let it run because I thought this was important discussion, but I think we're probably past the point of switching gears at this point. I think we need to just continue and to the end of the show with this, and maybe pick up where we left off last week on our next show.
Well, that I would really like to get into that, Terry. I'm but I firmly believe that this needed to be discussed. I think there's people who need to hear this if they haven't heard it. You cannot fix government with the thing that broke it. The polarization of everyone, having everyone, what you do, what was it King Abe the First said? A house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's exactly what the government has done. It's divided everyone along all of these different lines, especially racial, especially political, and especially religious.
It's interesting that that's almost in line with what George Washington's letter to John Jay said, but
exactly.
I don't know that he was looking at it as a plan to create those divisions, but a government that was incompetent, that was not competent to their own government without the means of coercion in the sovereign is exactly where we landed.
Thing I would like to throw in here, Terry, let me, I think we've probably beat this horse to death, but I did want to get at least one thing in from our original plan, and this was something I posted, and I want to read that, and what I posted it under was the absolute genius that was Samuel Adams. Hard to deny that Adams saw 2021 back in December of 1787 in his letter to Richard Henry Lee about the newly proposed Constitution. Now listen to the brilliance of Samuel Adams. I confess, as I enter the building, I stumble at the threshold. I meet with a national government instead of a federal union of sovereign states. I am not able to conceive why the wisdom of the convention led them to give the preference to the former before the latter. The several states in the Union are to become one entire nation under one legislature, the powers of which shall extend to every subject of legislation, and its laws be supreme and control the whole. The idea of sovereignty in these states must be lost. You are sensible, sir, that the seeds of aristocracy began to spring even before the conclusion of our struggle for the natural rights of men. Think about that. What he referred to the Revolutionary War as a struggle for the natural rights of men, but he also says the aristocracy had already begun to settle in on that. And he said, seeds which like a canker worm lie at the root of free government. So great is the wickedness of some men and the stupid servility of others that one would be almost inclined to conclude that communities cannot be free. Few haughty families think they must govern. The body of the people tamely consent and submit to be their slaves. This unravels the mystery of millions being enslaved by the few. Unquote. Was that brilliant or not?
Pretty much laid it out.
And yet we have all of these examples, but we have also created an atmosphere of people in this country who, and I talk about the difference. What's the difference between someone who is educated and someone who has enlightened themselves, a researcher, a person who goes into stuff and educate and gets their own education? They're not taught, they learned.
Or they have learned how to think, not what to think.
Exactly.
The educated have been taught what to think.
In school system, that's exactly what they do. They teach you what to think, and I see it especially with my grandson right now, fourth grade. And the teacher tells them in their Zoom classes, you can't ask questions. That's where it is now, Terry. They are not allowed to question what they are told. So to me, they have reached nirvana. The problem is they got all of the money they could out of this experiment, and so now they're ready to move on to the next one. And I believe we're in the throes of that catastrophe right now.
Clear a picture of that, please.
Well, and I made this statement on my program some time back, is that 2020 was the first year that all of the revenue collected in this country would not pay the interest on our debt. And how much more has it increased since then with people out of work? Terry, it makes no sense. We're increasing our national debt by leaps and bounds with all of these, sending out all of this money and all this other stuff that they're doing. But look how many businesses, small business in America, was shut down with this COVID thing. The middle class has almost been eviscerated from society. And if they keep up these things like you're talking about with insulin and other stuff, we're going to be there. You're going to have to be on the dole, on the political dole, to survive. And they're doing that with all of these stimulus packages and all this other stuff. I've talked to people recently who said, well, man, I hope that stimulus thing sure gets here, because here's what I'm going to do with it. We're indoctrinating a people that your manna comes from heaven, and heaven is the government in Washington. And eventually the people worship that which they see as God. And right now, most of the people see the government as God, the provider. And I believe we are going to see a huge switch. I believe now that the international bankers is planning on incorporating and bringing China into the realm that they brought America into after the Second World War.
You mean like Bretton Woods?
Yes. They're getting ready to do with China. They already know that one of the first things they have to do is to reduce the population of this country. And
they want to reduce the population of the globe. Genocide
is true, full
swing.
Oh, I agree with that. And look at one of the things. Has anyone ever studied the effects of brain hypoxia? I mean, I see people doing stupid stuff now, and I'm wondering, how long can you restrict flow of oxygen to your brain until it starts affecting your behavior?
At least 2% below MSHA requirement or OSHA requirements for workplace.
Right. So if you keep this up, and now you've got idiots wearing two and three masks. Really? It's incredible, Terry. When I see what people are doing, and they're doing it willingly, and they're mad at the people who don't. Free will, which is the very essence of freedom, is being destroyed in this country with this COVID thing. A person can't say, well, I choose not to wear a mask. I'm not going to do it. I'll go about. I'll accept the responsibility. I'll accept all of the things that could happen to me, but I'm just not going to do that. That's not going to be allowed. And shortly behind the mask thing is going to come the vaccination thing. You're not going to be able to buy, sell, and trade without the, and I do believe that this is the mark of the beast, is the vaccination that we're going through now.
Well, I have no question that it's part of it.
We're falling so into line with all of this, Terry. I know it's a terrible thing for people to say, but I tell you what, I'm glad I'm the age I am now. But it breaks my heart to think what my grandchildren are going to have to live through. Because they will have no idea, no concept whatsoever of the America that I grew up in. They won't know it. As some of the folks are telling me, like my good friend Robert out there in Reno, Nevada, he is saying that Iowa has lifted their mask mandates. So possibly we will see a loss in federal funds coming to the state of Iowa. They will not allow freedom. Independence cannot be allowed. The essence of government cannot allow freedom because they are polar opposites. You can't be free and be governed at the same time. Terry, have you ever heard of Robert LaFay?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he passed away in the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken. He wrote something, I'm going to send out to the guys who are and ladies who are taking my class online. I'm going to send out his work to them because he just about puts the nail in the coffin on this thing.
Well, close us out with what he said.
Oh, my goodness, Terry. It would take two lessons, two programs to do that. But he points to government in its origin, why people think they need government, and people believe they need government out of fear. So government will always control the people with fear because that's why they thought they needed government in the beginning. And fear is the passion of slaves, remember? Thank you, Patrick Henry.
Yep. That Jefferson made comments about that too, as far as whether the people fear the government or the government fears the people.
Right. And he pretty well nailed that. You know, where the government fears the people, there's freedom. Where the people fear the government, there's tyranny. And I paraphrase that, but that how could anyone argue with that? These people in the government are not only not afraid of us, it's like I said before, not to be redundant, but they're rubbing it in our faces. We will do anything we want to, and you can't do anything to stop us. And now they're getting ready to purge the military of anyone. I promise you, the people in the military who are in the officer or high enlisted ranks, if you have ever stood for individual freedom or rightful liberty, you will be cashiered out of the military in short order. It's coming.
Well, it's already started.
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
I was just looking for the guy's name because I don't remember it, that's been put in charge of purging it. There it is. retired Army General Lloyd Austin, I believe. Is one, is that the guy? Maybe not.
I think that
yeah,
may be
Lloyd,
it, Terry,
Lloyd Austin. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Yep, there you go.
Well, Terry, back several decades ago, I believe back in the early 80s, when I told people this, they wouldn't believe me, but the majority of the military, majority of the Army staff and the administration staff, the generals, the great majority of them were Democrats. Michael Flynn was a lifelong Democrat. The conversion began way back there.
Well, we're out of time, Mike. Sure went fast.
Well,
so I guess
Terry,
we'll have,
as
we'll
always,
we'll have to get into George Washington more next week, my friend.
Let's do that. Well, at least we've got a plan now. Well, be sure and tell your beautiful bride I said hello.
Same to yours. And we'll talk to you later, my brother, and we'll see. We'll be back next Thursday night with Handling the Truth. Thanks for listening tonight, everyone.
Good night,
good night,
everyone.
All. Good night, Mike.
Waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you're only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Won't you take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life? You were only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.